Take your Bibles, if you will, the book of Matthew, chapter 21. This 8-day period, nearly 2,000 years ago, began a week and a day of highs and lows for Christ and for his followers. Some 520 years before it happened, Zechariah the prophet declared, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." If you would, Matthew chapter 21, beginning at verse 1, let it stand together if you would, and are able. Matthew 21, 1, "And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strewed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus was willing to go to Jerusalem, that he set his face as a flint and went knowing that he had a date with an old rugged cross. Lord, we thank you for his amazing grace. We thank you for the salvation that we have through our Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. And the multitudes cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna. It's a cry of acclamation and adoration, of praise and devotion. It was a prayer, save us. And I ask you this question. Was Judas there praising the one he would soon betray? Or did he feel very uncomfortable and tried to make himself invisible? Verse 10. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? Passover is drawing nigh. The city's population has grown as pilgrims come to celebrate the Passover. They've come from Europe and Asia and Northern Africa. They've come to celebrate this holiday, or should we better call it this holy day? For those that have come from a great distance, the hubbub concerning Jesus would have been news to them. This was no Roman political leader. This was no military leader. This was not even a Jewish leader. This was a simple man. So why the pomp and circumstance? And why was he riding on a donkey, with the people shouting praise and honor to him, and putting their clothes in the way and cutting down branches so that the donkey would not walk on the surface but upon these other elements. Who is this? The book of Luke, if you would, please. Luke. Luke 19, verse 36. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, "Master, rebuke thy disciples." And he answered and said unto them, "I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." Can you see the picture? Jesus is thronged by these proclaiming his honor and his glory. And there are these religious figures over here watching what is going on, and they are greatly disturbed. And they go up to him and say, "Master, rebuke thy disciples, make them quiet. They are creating a scene." And he answered, "If these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." May I declare to you that the heavens and the universe declares the glory of God. You see those pictures sent back by the Hubble and other space equipment that go out and they send back the pictures. There are beautiful things out in the universe. If you would, the book of Colossians. Chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, and we'll begin reading at verse 12. Colossians 1 and verse 12. "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption," how? "Through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." Quickly to the book of Romans, if you would, please, chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, we'll read verses 18 and 19. As we look around us, spring is so near. And don't you love it when the trees start budding? The crocuses have already pushed their heads up. The daffodils are to be seen. And spring is around the corner. Aren't you excited about spring? I tell you what, I just love it. It's my favorite time of the year. And beginning at verse 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." They hold it back. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, Notice this, so that they are without excuse. They will have no excuse when they stand before the God of the universe. They won't be able to say, well, I was told that I came through a process of evolution. And he'll say, there is no excuse. There is no excuse. The book of John, chapter 12, if you would please, beginning at verse 12. John 12, 12. His entering into Jerusalem. Some call it the triumphant entry. Some call it Palm Sunday. But we know he went, and he went to Jerusalem for a purpose. For a purpose. And beginning at verse 12. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughters of Zion, behold, thy King cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not that his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people, therefore, that was with him when he had called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees, therefore, said among themselves, Perceive ye how he prevailed nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world has gone after him. Philippians, if you would please, chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. You say, Pastor Paul, it seems today that the world is not just drifting away from Christianity, it is running full tilt. And the fact of the matter is, many are. And we find that the Lord has always had a remnant. He's always had a group that has remained faithful, that has not bowed down and kissed the feet of Baal, but have served him faithfully. May it be said of you and of me that we remain faithful. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 5. Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every knee should bow, and every tongue should confess. This day is still future. Have you ever watched a movie where there was not one or two or three top name actors and actresses, but maybe a dozen? And sometimes you wonder, how do you get certain names first and second without making someone embarrassed? Well, that's fine for the movie credits, but I tell you what, there is one whose name is above every name. And to the believer, his name is precious. There's something about that beautiful name. In conclusion, you say, Pastor Paul, already? Don't get excited. My conclusion is almost as long as my sermon. Why? Why did he have to come to Jerusalem? Matthew 16:21 says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. If you would, the book of Matthew, once again, chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, if you would please, verses 17 through 19. Matthew 20, 17 through 19. And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death. And they shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again. Praise God, we serve a risen Savior. Not a dead God, but a living God. Matthew 20:28 says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He paid the price of our sins. To give his life a ransom. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. That's why he came to die for the Old Testament saints and to die for you today. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If you would, the book of Romans, chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Do you ever ponder your death? I was asked by one of my grandchildren if I wanted to be cremated. And I said, the fact of the matter is, I don't care what Donna does with me. She can go over and find a box that a water heater was in and put me in it. And then you can all come in and write on it. Say some nice, sweet thing. But there's one thing that I do want at my funeral, and that I want these verses that I'm going to read to you read at my funeral. Because to me, they're the greatest verses in all the Bible. Romans chapter 5, and we'll begin reading at verse 6. Romans 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Now notice, he died for the ungodly. It's not like we can build ourselves up to a point and the Lord says, okay, I'll die for you now. No, he died for us when we were ungodly, when we were sinners. Verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But God commended his love towards Palmadonna, in that while he was yet a sinner, Christ died for said Palmadonna. And you can put your name in there. Verse 9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Behold, thy king cometh. He is just. And having salvation. Our last verse will be found in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. "Who is this?" they asked. He was asked, "Tell your disciples to shut up." And he said, "The stones will declare it." And may I say this, Jesus said, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against my church." Acts chapter 4, verse 12. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Amen. Shall we stand together? And as we ponder what our Lord and Savior did for us nearly 2,000 years ago, going to Jerusalem for a purpose, that purpose was to save souls. Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? Would you have been one that had been proclaiming that day glory? Or would you be one of those that a few days later would be saying, "Crucify him"? That decision is yours. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this time of invitation, we ask, Lord, now you would bless it. May the Holy Spirit move. May hearts be touched. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.